You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit golem.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسقياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, prior to his arrival, there was a person by the name of Abu Amir al-Rahib. He was an individual who had accepted Christianity in the days of Jahiliyyah. He was from Khazraj, which was a tribe of Medina Munawwara, and because of his knowledge and his influence of speaking, the ability he had when he spoke, the influence he had on people, he had been more or less unspokenly appointed as the leader. His future was to be the leader of Medina Munawwara. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to Medina Munawwara. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, he kind of lost that limelight and that position that he was expecting from people. So he secretly became an enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what he did was, in the Battle of Badr, he was hoping the Muslims would lose. But it happened to be the Muslims were victorious. And when the Muslims won the first battle, he realized now the Muslims even had strength on the battlefield. Because prior to this, the Muslims hadn't shown their strength on the battlefield. So he became very worried, and he immediately ran to Makkah Mukarramah, and he said to the people, "You must prepare another army and attack the Muslims this time." And he was the one that kind of gathered the army together to fight against the Muslims in the Battle of Uhud. When it came time for the Battle of Uhud, he was standing in the lines of the disbelievers. And from that side, he began to call on his buddies, the Ansar. He said to them that, "Leave Muhammad and come to my side. We were friends before he came. He came and messed up our friendship." So the Muslims from this side, they said to him, "You stay on your side, we're staying on our side. We've chosen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will stay with him till the end." At this point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave him da'wah. He said, "Come to Islam. What are you doing? Let aside your ego. Forget everything. You know, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving him da'wah, he only increased in his arrogance. During the Battle of Uhud, he was actually one of the reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was injured. He caused the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to trip down and fall over, which resulted in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam breaking one of his teeth, and also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being bruised and bleeding from his head. After the Battle of Uhud was over, he realized that he couldn't stay in Medina anymore because his hatred for the Muslims was no longer a secret, it was not open to everyone. So he ran to the Roman Empire. And he met the Roman Emperor, whose name was Heraclius. He said to him that, "I was someone who lived in Medina Munawwara, and I have lived with these Muslims, and I know exactly what needs to be done to drop them down." So Heraclius entertained the idea, and meanwhile, this individual, Abu Amir al-Rahib, in order to take down the foundation of the Muslims in Medina, he began to put together an espionage team in Medina Munawwara. People that would spy against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People that would demotivate the Muslims. They were called the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. So as their numbers began to increase, finally this Abu Amir al-Rahib, he said to the Roman Emperor, "It's time that we make our attack on Medina Munawwara." So the Roman Emperor said, "What's your plan?" He said, "I will establish a base in Medina Munawwara in which all of my men will be sitting there. And all of the weapons we need will also be sitting there. And they will keep track of the departures and arrivals of the Muslim armies and where the soldiers are and everything in Medina Munawwara, they'll have an eye on it. So when we do come, we will crush them." So the Roman Emperor was very happy with this idea. Now meanwhile, this Abu Amir al-Rahib, he sent a letter to Medina Munawwara telling his men to build a masjid. They built the masjid. They finished off the structure. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one day walking past. He said, "What's this masjid? I didn't realize this was a new masjid. Where did this new masjid come from?" They said, "O Messenger of Allah, we have some old people that live in this area, and sometimes attending the main masjid for prayer is hard for us. It rains sometimes, you know, it's a distance. So just for our convenience, we built a little masjid here so people can conveniently pray their salah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not object to that. And this is a very interesting point. Because if, you know, this is a real point, something that we should ponder upon. In our communities in America, sometimes there will be multiple masajid in one community. Is that okay or not? This is a big question. Some people say, no, that's not good. Some people say it's okay. Now when these people, when they placed their excuse in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, "O Messenger of Allah, we are building the smaller musalla, if you wish to call it, or the smaller masjid, so that it can be convenient for people to pray salah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that if it's going to be convenient for people to pray, then let it be, let there be another masjid. However, when it would come time for Jumu'ah Salah, the smaller masajid would be closed down and people would come to the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there was a concept of the Jami' Masjid, like, you know, the masjid that congregated everyone on the big day. But throughout the week, not everyone can come to the big masjid. Maybe someone lives 15 minutes away. Maybe someone lives 20 minutes away. It may not be convenient for them. So for their convenience, now establishing smaller masajid, there's nothing wrong with that. However, they say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Messenger of Allah, we finished off the structure of the masjid. We would like to have a grand opening. And for the grand opening, for the inauguration, we would like for you to come here and pray two rakat to validate this being a masjid." The Prophet ﷺ said that we are going for a journey right now. They were traveling towards the Battle of Tabuk. He said, "We're going for a journey right now. We have a battle ahead of us. When we return, we'll pray the two rakat here." Now, in their mind, they thought they had everything under control. The Prophet's going to come back, he's going to pray two rakat here, the masjid will be certified by the Prophet, and then officially, unofficially, this will become the base of the hypocrites. This is where they will do all their spying on Medina Munawwara from. When the Prophet ﷺ is returning back from the Battle of Tabuk, the narration mentions there was one day or a part of a day left between where he was in the position of this masjid. When the Prophet ﷺ is returning, revelation came to the Prophet ﷺ. And we recited those verses today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ضِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَلَا يَحْلِفُنَّ إِنَّ رَدْنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ لَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the Prophet, do not pray two rakat there whatever happens. That masjid is a masjid of dirar, it's a source of corruption. They are causing harm to people. They are causing dispute in the community. What does Allah say? تَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Now if there is another masjid that's being built within the same community, but the reason is تَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, to split the Muslims. To split them, literally, that's the reason. That was the intention behind it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet, لَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا, never go and pray there. Because these people are causing fitna in the community. And fitna, and this fitna, is the worst thing that can happen to the Muslim community. Trust me, I've been to so many communities, even within our country and internationally, where on one street there are two masajid. On one street there are two masajid. There was one time I was in the UK, and I was traveling, and I gave a lecture at a university. On the way back from the lecture, we were about to miss our Maghrib Salah, and I hadn't prayed my Asr either. So Asr time was coming to an end, and Maghrib time was about to enter. We were on the highway. I said to one of my friends, "Let's stop over and pray Salah." So he took the exit, we went to the nearby masjid, we prayed there. After I prayed my Asr Salah, maybe there was 5 minutes left for Maghrib. And we parked our car somewhere far away, because in England, everything's very congested. So he said to me, "Sheikh, let's go pray Maghrib in another masjid." I said, "There's only 5 minutes left, how can we go to another masjid?" He called me out, we were standing at the door of the masjid where I had prayed Asr. He pointed to the other masjid, he said, "It's right there." I actually counted, there were seven to nine cars that were parked parallel between the doors of both masajid. How many cars? Maybe not, let's just be exaggerated and say 15 cars. Okay, 15 cars that were parallel parked between the door of one masjid and the door of the other masjid. And I asked him, "What is this?" So then he said to me, "That Sheikh, these are people who are from one part of India, but they speak two different dialects. This dialect opened up this masjid, and the other dialect opened up that masjid." Right? What kind of nonsense is this? In Chicago, I actually saw this as well in certain areas. There was one place that I went to a masjid and I prayed salah there, and after I finished, I was walking on the wall of the masjid and there was a window there. I looked through the window and across the street I saw a building with an ark in their window. So I asked one of the brothers, like, "What's this?" So he said, "Sheikh, that's another masjid." You know how close it was? If that was 15 cars parallel parked, this was no more than 3 cars parallel parked in front of each other. How many?
6.
No, if that was 15, this is?
3.
And if I'm going to exaggerate, I'll say 5. No more than 5 cars apart from each other. So you ask yourself, what is the purpose of this? Today, every new race comes and opens up their own masjid. People can't coexist in one masjid because of fiqh differences. Fiqh wasn't made to divide us, it was brought to unite us. So we can unite together on our principles and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Smallest things that come up, people are now making them a reason of opening up another masjid. Two board members can't get along, let's open up another masjid. Two races can't get along, let's open up another masjid. You're not having someone from our race on the committee and board, let's go open another masjid. You guys are too conservative, let's go open another masjid. You guys are liberal, let's go open another masjid. You know, you guys don't like the Olympics, let's go open another masjid. You don't like cops ice cream, let's open up another masjid. Like, the silliest and smallest things, people are literally taking them, and let's go open another masjid. You know, we need to learn that the masajid are the house of guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this masjid was a reason for dispute in the Muslim community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not go and pray there. Not only did the Prophet not pray there, he immediately called two sahaba from the army that he had. He said, go to that masjid, this is the GPS location, go there and burn the masjid down. What did he say? Burn it down. These men, they went there and they slit the masjid on fire, and the sahaba, they say, we were standing at a distance and we can see the smoke in the air, that masjid had been destroyed down. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that masjid was built, and the name of that masjid is called Masjid al-Dirar. What's it called? Dirar. It's called Masjid al-Dirar, the masjid of corruption, the masjid of pain to the Muslim ummah. And right next to it was another masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that masjid was corrupted, but this is a good masjid. What's the masjid name next to that? Masjid al-Quba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. Don't stand in that masjid. لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ. However, the next door masjid, its foundation was built on the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blood and sweat that was put into building that masjid wasn't only off rich people who were just donating and fundraisers and they felt that they had done the masjid a favor. These were people who were involved. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is carrying the bricks on his shoulders. And the sahaba, they say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he was carrying the bricks on his shoulders to build the masjid, he was reciting poetry. Allahumma la aisha illa al-aisha al-akhirah, faghfir lil-ansar wal-muhajira. Oh Allah, there is no luxury but the luxury of the hereafter. So forgive the ansar and the muhajireen. And the Prophet himself is carrying the bricks. You know, not only was there fundraising, not only was there donations, but they were involved in building the masjid. Today we just pay for the masjid, and then we act as if we own it, like we just paid for a car or something. But when a person builds something, it's not only that you own it, you feel like you're a part of it. You know, your child, you don't feel like you own your child, you feel like you're a part of your child, because you were involved in every step of the development of that child. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that the people who pray in there are pious. Allah says that masjid, from the very first day, its foundation was on piety. The people involved, they feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people that were involved in donating, they feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who were constructing, they had taqwa. The one that was leading had taqwa. The people behind had taqwa. You know, this is the type of masjid you should be praying in. And this is the type of masajid we should aspire to build. Not only big structures. The USA already has enough of $5 million masajid across the country. We have too many of them. But the problem with many of our $5 million masajid are, there is no one standing in them. There is no imam there. There is no one to give adhan there. The salah time comes, the doors of the masajid are locked, and we put $5 to $10 million down for that masjid. It's not about the structure, it's about the people that are inside the structure. I was one day walking in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I recalled very clearly, as I was walking on the left side, for those of you who have gone before, when you're going to give your salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet's original mosque is actually on the left side. So as I was walking, and I was looking to my left side, I was just looking, and I started reflecting over the ahadith regarding the Prophet's mosque. How it was made of date palm trees. The roof were the leaves, right? The roof were the leaves. And the roof was very low. And then at the same time, there was no carpet there. They literally did sajda on the soil. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the sahaba, if you're going into sajda and you see there are stones there that might poke you in your forehead, move them once, but don't sit there and keep moving them. That's going to destroy the focus in your prayer. So it was such a simple masjid, such a basic masjid. No chandelier, no air condition, no chairs, no carpet. Just a standard masjid, no calligraphy. But that masjid produced some of the greatest men in history. The muadhin was Bilal radiallahu anhu, whose footsteps were already being heard in Jannah. The imam was Muhammadur Rasulullah. The followers behind the imam, the front saf was who? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Talha, Zubair, Sa'ad, Sa'id, Abu Ubaidah, Abdul Rahman. The women at the back, they were all going to Jannah. The kids running around in the masjid and causing havoc, they were going to Jannah as well. It's as if everything about that masjid was based on taqwa. That's why when this ayah was revealed, what two sahaba were debating, that is this masjidun ussisa ala taqwa, the masjid, the foundation of which was built on taqwa, is it referring to Masjid al-Quba or is it referring to the Prophet's masjid? Two sahaba were debating. And they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they said, O Messenger of Allah, this ayah, which masjid is it referring to? Your masjid or Masjid al-Quba? So on one occasion the Prophet said, my masjid. On another occasion the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, my masjid. And on the first occasion he said, my masjid. And another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, Masjid al-Quba. So both narrations are there. The point that I'm trying to make is that we need to invest on piety. The people that are building the masajid, they need to be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want your masjid to be a source of guidance? Make dua for your masjid. Raise your hands and pray in tahajjud salat. Ya Allah, make it a markaz of khair. Ya Allah, make it a baytul ilm. Ya Allah, make it a place where people will come and shed tears and connect yourself to your greatness. Make these du'as from the first day. And then establish the masjid. Establish the things that are occurring in the masjid. Don't worry about expansions. The expansions will come when the time is for them to come. But before they come, focus and give your attention to your youth directors. Find your religious directors. Find your imams. Find your hifz school. Find your halaqat. And build the work that needs to take place within the masjid. I always quote the saying of Allama Iqbal, where he referred to the masjid that was built overnight. You know the overnight masjid that was built in 24 hours? The Muslims and the non-Muslims had a debate in India. Who did this particular property belong to? The judge was a British man. He said, whoever decides to build whatever they're going to build first, it's theirs. The non-Muslims, they said, we'll build it, or we'll build our temple in 1 month. The Muslims said, we'll build our masjid in 24 hours. And they literally built the masjid in 24 hours. It's called Masjid al-Shabbat, the overnight masjid. You know, you have UPS overnight, overnight masjid. They built the whole masjid overnight. So Allama Iqbal, he refers to that. He says, Iqbal bada upadeshak hai, man baaton mein mauleta hai, guftar ka ghazi ban to gaya, kirdar ka ghazi ban na saka. He first starts off by praising himself, saying, oh Iqbal, you're so intellectual and so far-sighted. You have the ability to put any of your emotions into words. Today you've become the master of speech. Guftar ka ghazi ban to gaya. Today you're a master of speech. Kirdar ka ghazi ban na saka. But when it comes to actions, you're empty, you're zero. Masjid to banali shabbar mein iman ki hararat walon ne man apna purana paapi hai barso mein namazi ban na saka. When we got excited in the fundraiser, we raised the funds, we built the masjid overnight. But now, 1 year later, you come to the masjid and no one is praying any salah there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us about how we build the masajid, and He will also ask us about how we pray inside the masajid as well. So it's our responsibilities as Muslims to give that piety, that taqwa to the masjid. And not only that, establish circles of learning and ibadah inside the masjid. And not only that, accommodate for everyone. Don't be exclusive that if I'm Pakistani, I'm only going to serve for the Pakistani Muslims. And if I'm Indian, only the Indian Muslims. And if I'm Bosnian, I understand that certain times there may be a need to give a preference in a language to a segment of your community. If there are Bosnians, you may need to find a khatib who can speak in their language to give them a lecture. That makes sense. But don't divide because of that. Still establish your institutes that involve everyone, that can bring everyone in. You know, certain masajid in the country, unfortunately, it's so biased that they're absolutely based off one race. My teacher used to say something. He used to say, "Ha," in Urdu, it sounds really good by the way. Okay, I'll translate in Urdu, then I'll translate in English for you. He said, "Ha, masjid ka naam Bilal rakhte hai, lekin kaale aadmi ko board pe nahi baithne denge." He'd say, "Ha, ha, yes, yes. They name the masjid Bilal. What do they call the masjid? Masjid-e? Bilal. But they won't let a black person sit on the board." He's talking about the racism. Then he said, "Ha, masjid ka naam Aisha rakhte hai, lekin aurat ko board pe nahi baithne denge." They call the Masjid Aisha, but a lady can't sit on the board. You know, so we find every opportunity to just exclude people out. There are some masajid that I have seen across the country where there is absolutely no space for women at all. Literally, there is no place. There are certain masajid that I've seen in the country where women are literally going for shopping. They can sit at a cafe, they can go have coffee, they can have nihari, they can go have some tikka, they can go have some kulfi, but when it comes to salah time, they can't have the masjid. So that's not how our masajid should be. Our masajid should be like the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was a center for everyone. The kids, the women, the adults, the soldiers. Sometimes there was gatherings of knowledge there. Sometimes someone was being hospitalized there. Sometimes there was rehab taking place there. Sometimes there was fundraisers there. And one after the other, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had built a masjid, which was kind of like the downtown. It was the most valued property because everything you needed to be done was taking place right there inside the masjid. And the properties around the masjid were the most valued because they were closest to the place that had everything taking place within it. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to be from the people who have taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our masajid to be built on taqwa. And at the end of the ayah, when Allah talks about the people of Quba, He says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin." that there are two things that will allow you to build a masjid on taqwa. First thing, repent to Allah abundantly. Ya Allah, if I made any mistakes while building the structure, forgive me. And for those of you who are involved in building the masjid for the Brookfield community, read the story of how Ibrahim did it. How Ibrahim built the Kaaba. You'll learn a lot from that. How Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was so humble while he was building the Kaaba with his son Ismail alayhi salam. And the second thing, Allah loves those who are excessively clean, who purify themselves excessively, physically, externally, and also internally as well. They keep their hearts clean of any animosity. As a community leader, trust me, you will feel like making bad intentions towards other people, towards backbiting other people, towards slandering other people. It happens on all the boards of all the masajid of the country, unfortunately. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ Keep your hearts clean as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to act upon this. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. السلام عليكم.